Hey, good morning. Yeah, I couldn't be a pop star. There's no way. Wow. Hey, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I missed last week. Oh, we all missed last week. When Les and Jesse and I had a conversation Saturday and we decided, hey, we probably ought to cancel, I was still in. Les kind of reaffirmed it this morning. Patsy went to bed last night with a fever and the flu and said, I'll probably be up in the morning to go to church. Okay, that's kind of the way I felt when Jesse and Les called me last week. We can probably still have church. But no, it was bad. I wouldn't have been here if we had it because I couldn't get out my driveway. I went to work Friday, came home. Well, after about 3 hours, I established in my mind that I thought I was the only Coca-Cola salesman out working that day. Because I called a couple of them, they didn't answer them. One called me back and said, buddy, I'm still at home. I'm like, well, dude, what are you doing at home? I'm not going in today. I didn't know work was optional, but I guess it is. So I got home Friday, and by the time I got home, about 1 o'clock, it was getting pretty bad. It was brutal cold, as I'm sure most of you know. That was probably the worst storm we've seen in a long time. Our road was actually shut down for Friday night, Saturday, part of the day Sunday. And so Friday night we're supposed to have Christmas with Chris's mom and dad and brother and my three kids and their significant others. And Lindsay, well, actually, yeah, that was Friday night. We canceled. And then Saturday, Christmas Eve, we were supposed to go to church down in Fredericktown with Chris's mom and dad. And then we were going to Lindsay and Skylar's house for Christmas Eve. And when I called to tell her we're canceling, Lindsay was mad. I've been out all day. Yeah, that's your job. That's your job. It is bad here. What's not bad here in Mount Vernon? Okay. So Sunday, Chris and I are like, well, what are we going to do? We're supposed to have the girls over at noon. We're going to have Christmas, you know, our Santa Christmas with the girls because, you know, we still have Santa at our house and they're 26, 23, and 20, 19. Anyway, I could tell they were like, we're coming regardless. I said, girls, you can't get to our house. Well, about 10:30, a road grader came through and he got it opened up single lane up to just past my brother's. But the drifts were 12 foot high up there. He could not get that open. So I call and tell them all, hey, you can't come from 19. You got to go around. You got to come in the back, you know, by Kara's house, come up 59, whatever. So Nathan and Shelby come. They're leading the way. Lindsay's right behind them because I got this Find My Friend thing on my phone. And I can see that they're like right on top of each other. And Nate and Shelby are first. Well, they try to come up from 19 like they didn't believe the crazy old man that the road was drifted shut 12 foot high. Nate gets there and he says, yeah. He said, I drove up that way thinking I could. Shelby said I could just go through it. He's like, oh, I was in her car. And he said, I got there and it's taller than a car. I said, what did you guys think I was telling you? But not to be outdone, Skylar and Lindsay followed them up the same route. Oh, yeah, they were just watching. I think Lindsay thought she had her plow on her Ford Expedition, her Ford Edge. Anyway, Christmas was good. You know, it was actually pretty relaxing because we didn't have all that bustle. We stayed home. That was pretty cool. And if you talk, to Morgan this week, she's going to be a little dumber than she was last week. She got her wisdom teeth pulled, so she has no wisdom until her brain recovers. She had that done Friday. We're hoping to have her intelligence back by the time she goes back to school next Monday. Right, Morgan? Swelling down, intelligence back. You'll be good to go. But she is mad because we had New Year's Eve last night and Morgan couldn't eat. Morgan got to eat mashed potatoes and pudding, and she didn't get any of the good stuff, so it is what it is. Anyway, hey, I am excited today. This was last week's message. The title of the sermon is Best Day Ever. And I thought, well, I could use that a bunch of different ways today. Michigan got beat. Then Ohio State gets beat. It misses a field goal as time expires, and I was heartbroken. So I can't. It's not best day ever today. We're going back. It's best day ever. Biblically. Because without this story, none of the other exists. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and just let Him guide me here. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You for our safety. We thank You for what You do for us every single day. Lord, most importantly, we thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to this earth. Lord, just shut my mind down, shut my brain down, and just let the words come off my tongue that You know need to be heard today, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. So as I was preparing for this, and I've had a long time to prepare, and I've kind of played around and goofed around and did different things, but the thing God has remained constant is there are certain passages He wanted me to use, and that didn't waver. And I thought that was pretty cool. So we're going to start today in Isaiah. And just a little background on Isaiah. This was written 700 to 681 B.C. B.C., before Christ. Okay, so this stuff was all written before Christ. Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a pretty cool dude when you really think about it and really dig into what Isaiah did and stood for. But I'm going to go to chapter 7, verse 13. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, your house of David, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore," verse 14, "therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And we all know that Emmanuel means God with us. And when they says "you" in there, he's meaning plural "you," like everybody "you," not just Matt, you, or Shelby, you. This is you as a people. Okay? That Savior is going to be born for you, and it's going to be of a virgin. That's pretty cool. Let's move on. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. And there are many different accounts of Jesus' birth foretold, and we could preach months on all those. We're going to go to two of these here. Isaiah 9, 6. And again, it mentions a child being born. It says, "For unto you a child is born, for us a son is given." So this is the gift. This is Christmas. He is given to you. What do you do with a gift? You open it up. I mean, usually a gift is something that I'm not going to buy myself. right? And somebody's taking the time to just, out of the goodness of their heart, get me something. God is giving us a gift. What will you do with it? And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Guys, those are a lot of titles. You know, those are a lot of titles. And if you're into all those titles, use them. Here's the title I'm going to use: a gift. This guy was a gift given to me. Okay? Now we're going to move into the main passage in Luke. We're going to be in Luke 2. And that is the Christmas story. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So there's probably a lot of confusion going on, right? I mean, first time you do something, it's not, and I mean, did they get a letter in the mail? You know, they didn't. It was posted in probably all the city centers. Hey, here's where you have to be. You have to report to your town of your fathers on this day because Caesar wants to know where everybody is. I contend Caesar also wanted his money. Because not only were they taking a census, I'm guessing, but this is kind of like income tax too, right? Probably. The Romans didn't do much without getting paid for it. So no matter where you were, you had to return. Now we know that Joseph, he went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the line and house of David. Okay? He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. I'm going to stop there. Now, we learned 2 weeks ago when the kids, that Mary and Joseph traveled how many miles? About 90 miles, I believe I heard Jen say, right? I looked that up. It's about 90 miles. Okay? 90 miles. And some of this will be repetitive because I think I preached last Christmas. But they did not just jump in a car or take a bus or jump on a plane or jump on a train. They walked. They rode a camel. They rode donkeys. They rode whatever. Now, I can admire Joseph. We don't know a ton about Joseph, but what we do know is when the angels appeared to him, he took the challenge from God and said, yeah, whatever you want. Okay? But here's Joseph. He's got to go 90 miles with a girl, and I say girl because she was a girl. She was not 20 years old. She was 14, 15, 16 years old. That's 9 months pregnant, 90 miles by donkey. Didn't have air brakes, didn't have air seats, didn't have all this other stuff. Donkey. And the roads were not, like, paved. They were gravel, they were rock, they were dirt. And there was all that confusion from the first census. Joseph had to be a man that knew where he was supposed to be going. And he had a plan. And he was part of a plan that he knew was bigger than him. Now, my family knows their fair game. When we were expecting Shelby, we lived in New Philadelphia. And we doctored in Mansfield at the group. We were going to have Shelby at the Mansfield General Hospital. Anybody want to guess how many miles that is? 90. 90 miles. And let me just tell you, I love my wife to death. That was the longest 90 miles. I felt like Joseph because that was the longest 90 miles of my life. Because we wanted to have a natural childbirth. Right? All first-time moms want to have a natural childbirth. About halfway there, we were in a little red... I remember this like it was yesterday. We were in a little red four-door Cavalier. That was Chris's car. And at one point, Chris had the front seat laid back and was turned around, leaning over the front seat, like her head in the back. Part of it. But what, you know, we don't get details like that from Joseph. Did Mary have contractions while they were on the way? Was it miserable? So the only story I have is Chris and I's drive says 90 miles in a car. We had to stop. We stopped at Ashland because Chris was pretty sure that baby was coming and I was not delivering a baby alongside 30. Okay? So I was smart enough to realize that. But then they just sent us on to Mansfield. You got plenty of time. Well, then 12 hours later, Shelby was born because she's stubborn, which is fine. But here's the other thing of that trip that unless you've worked with donkeys and know donkeys, and I have worked with one personally and know him pretty well, he jumped out of my pasture one night on December 23rd and ran down 19 and ran into the side of a guy's car. And the guy pulled into my brother's car and said, do you know anybody that's got a donkey? My brother's like, why would I know if anybody's got a donkey? Well, one just ran into me out on 19. So I get a phone call. Hey, is your donkey in the pasture? I said, I don't know. I got a guy over here that said he ran into one out on 19. I said, oh boy. So I proceeded to get somebody to haul me out. And it was snowing. Not quite as bad as last weekend, but it was snowing. And a cable guy, oddly enough, a DirecTV guy, has the donkey with coaxial cable around his neck holding him there at the truck. And he says, is this your donkey? Yep, I'm the guy carrying a lead strap coming to get him. He was not my donkey, but I was borrowing him. So then, in my wisdom, I decided it was too long to walk back 19 and up my road in Carhartts, in the middle of snow drifts and all that. So I decided to go across the field. And this is where I can feel for Joseph, because I didn't realize that field was so big. And when a donkey stops, You know, anybody raise steers? Millers, do you guys have steers, cows? No? Yes. Well, you know how they break steers to show? For show ring? They tie them to a donkey. Why? Because a donkey's stronger than the steer, and a donkey is more bullheaded than the steer. So when the donkey stops, the steer stops. And if the donkey stands up and stands there, the steer stands there. If the donkey lays down, the steer lays down. So that's what Joseph was dealing with that day. That's how beautiful God's plan is, because that could have been a train wreck. Let's read on. I think I'm done picking on my family for now. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Okay, so there's a lot of working parts here. When Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem, they're like, you know, everybody's there. So there's no room. And Paul And Karen, I wish they were here, because during the Journey to Bethlehem, they're like the highlight for me, because they pour so much into that innkeeper. And Paul did such a good job of representing that innkeeper. And behind every great man, there's a great woman. And Karen represents that as well. And you know, the innkeeper says, hey, you know, I got a stable. You're welcome to it. Because he knows Mary's going to give birth. But he has no idea. That's Jesus. Because I'll bet if the guy knew it was Jesus, he would have cleaned out his bedroom. Right? So he puts him out in the manger, out in the stable. He's born in the manger, and we don't have a manger here, but we envision, we have this nice little cute story of the manger being this little tripod wooden thing, right? You know what this manger was? It was a concrete tub in the middle of the barn. Maybe on a wall. I don't know. Probably on a wall, because it probably had to be chiseled out. But it wasn't smooth. It wasn't fit for a king. It was rough. And everybody says, well, why did they wrap him in swaddling clothes? Well, here's why. When the shepherds brought those ewes in to have lambs in the stable, when they found that perfect lamb that was unblemished, no marks, whatever, you know what they did? They wrapped it in cloth and put it in this manger so that it could be used for sacrifice, because it was perfect. They wrapped it in cloth so it didn't get scarred, it didn't get skin broken, it didn't. So the swaddling cloth, that's the swaddling cloth. That was to protect our Savior, to keep him pure in just a concrete rock trough. Okay? The story goes on, because Jesus was born, but who was there to witness it? Just some animals. Some animals. Guys, what do you think Jesus can do with you and I? Because he knows what it means to come from humble beginnings. He knows what it means to be born not with a title on your name. He was born in a stable. He was put in a trough that they put baby sheep in to protect him. But we have to have some witnesses. So again, God's plan is perfect. And then there were shepherds nearby living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You know, these guys are just minding their own business. Mind their own business, looking for wolves and bears and coyotes and whatever to fight off. But I'm guessing it was nighttime, so the sheep were all kind of just settled and just laying around. So, but the shepherds had to stay awake. They had to warn off all predators. I've said before, sheep are helpless. Sheep can't protect themselves. You know how a sheep protects himself? By numbers. And they don't protect all of them. Because when you travel in numbers like that, you only got to be faster than one sheep. Right? To get away from the wolf. You only got to be faster than one sheep. That's why the shepherds are so important. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." I love the adjectives here. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It doesn't just say for all the American people. For all, it's all the people. Kind of like that "you" was big "you," everybody. All the people is you. All the people. great joy. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the angels spoke to these shepherds in their terms because they knew what the baby lying in cloths in the manger was all about, because he was the perfect one. Because the shepherds, that's what they did with their perfect sheep. Okay, so they got it. Still be a little alarmed when angels appeared to me while I was tending my sheep. I've had a lot of things talk to me while I'm in the barn. Not really. I imagine it. And I talk to the sheep like they're going to answer me. That's weird too. But you know why? Because they need to hear the shepherd's voice. And we have a ewe that we've got penned, and she's kind of fooled us. We penned her last Saturday because she was showing signs of labor. Now she's like in the Hotel Ritz. She don't even get up when you go in the barn anymore because she got all the feed she wants by herself. Fresh straw, clean bucket of water twice a day. She's loving it. She ain't never going to have these lambs. But man, she knew how to fool Shelby and I. Because we penned her up right away and thought, oh, we're going to have lambs Christmas Day. Yeah. Well, for a week later, we got no lambs yet. And she just in there chewing her cud. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool when you hear the shepherd's voice. And I want you to think about a time in your life when you hear your shepherd's voice. Now if angels come down, and I'm not going to always hear the angels. I'm going to be terrified if I see a bunch of angels. But when I hear Jesus speak to me, it's like, phew. I'm like that ewe in that pen. I got no worries in the world, right? Because I know my shepherd's got me. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. And we already know that his favor rests on who? All the people. That's cool. When angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, Mary's a pretty cool customer, too. Again, 14 years old. Hey, angel shows up one night in her dream, she thinks, right? But Mary wakes up, and angel says, no, don't be afraid. God is showing you great favor because you're going to have a baby. And it's going to be conceived by God. It's God's child. And Mary just buys into that and says, I'm your servant. Whatever you need me to do, that's what I'm going to do. How many of us right now, angel comes down and says, hey, I need you to do this. I'm going to say, eep. Yeah, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you need. Man, I buck him on getting out of my comfort zone. I buck him on talking to people about him. And why? I don't know. I don't have a big issue here. Man, when I go out there to work, it's like, I'm not sure what Jimmy thinks. Who cares? That's why I've told myself, Matt, who cares? My day goes better when I just do it. Honest truth. Oh, but Mary just did it. The shepherds then returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Guys, that's cool. And I didn't look it up, but I'm also going to tell you about these wise men, right? These wise men, they're brought in to King Herod at the time, who was in charge. And he knew there was talk of a Messiah coming. And man, he didn't want competition. So his plan was to bring these wise men in and tell them, hey, go find this baby. Because I want to go worship him with him. Well, the wise men left. And the angel appeared to them and said, hey, when you find the baby, go a different route home. Because they let him in on Herod's plan. And these guys did what they were supposed to do. And came and presented gifts. We know the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But guys, the gift was already given. The gift was already given. And why did I think it was important we preach the Christmas message today? Because Christmas is not just December 25th. Christmas is 365. And if we live like those shepherds, and we live like the scripture tells us that it's for all of us, we can't go wrong. But what do? Sometimes I think we want to keep that gift to ourselves. Guys, that gift was given to you. Your gift should be given to the rest of the world. Our gift should be, I'm going to go out and give it to the rest of the world because that's what God wants me to do. And we know that that was a great story, and but we also know that it's true. That's the beauty of it. This isn't a fictional book. Right? This is non-fiction. Truth. Facts. In here. We need to apply it to our lives today. Because it affects us today. I'm here to tell you that in 681 B.C., Isaiah probably knew who was going to be president today. He probably knew what the United States is going to look like today. Guys, we got work to do. We got work to do, and we got the gift, the greatest gift of all, in Jesus Christ. And if we're not willing to share that gift, who is going to share that gift? There are people that you know, that you live with, that you live beside, that you go to school with, that you go to work with, that whatever, that do not know the story of Jesus Christ. Shame on us. Guys, we got to get better. There's only one way we're going to do that. We're going to do it through Him. We can't do it for ourselves. We got to turn it over to Him and let Him have it, and He'll put us in situations, and He'll give us the courage, and He'll give us the words, and He'll give us everything we need to share that gift. So that we can make every day the best day ever. We're going to close up, and if you want to know more about Jesus, if you want to know more about that relationship that you want to have with Him, Les and I will be here. If you have prayer needs, we'll be here. If you have praises, we'll be here. I do have one I want to share real quick. Mike Fry, a lot of you know Mike. His wife Deb on Christmas Eve. They were coming home from Matt's house, which I don't know where Matt lives, Bowling Green, I think, but I don't know that for sure. And she was having just some trouble. So they end up going to a hospital somewhere, I don't even know where. They life flighted her to Columbus. She had a stroke. She's 68, I think-ish, 68-ish. She had a stroke, and Mike keeps sending me updates. Yesterday I got five, which was cool. But the last one was that she had just had a meeting with a neurologist. He came in, and she was, for the first time in like 3 days, she was awake, answered questions, went through all the movement stuff, passed all that. But before, she was only like, she would open her eyes for like 10 seconds, and then she was back out. But yesterday, they got some positive news. So keep the Fry family in your prayers. She's doing better, but she's still got a long road to hoe. And she's still got a lot of therapy and whatnot to go through. But there are prayer needs out there. There are prayer needs out there. So keep them in your prayer. But that's definitely a praise, because where she was at last week is not where she's at this week. Things are definitely better. So praise God for that. But like I said, we're going to close with a song. I'm going to close with some prayer. We'll close with a song. If you have a need, please, please let us know. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the story that you provided us of your Son, and the fact of your Son, and the fact that your Son came to this earth as an infant, as a lowly born infant in a stable, and then lived his life out sinless, and then sacrificed to die on the cross for me. Thank you for that gift. If I got no gift this year more important than that, Lord, now let me go use it. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give you all the praise and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.